Parker.
Wow.
Modifies and drags.
Of iconic modified tracks, and we will remember Brian Clausen as we send out prayers to him and his family. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, August the 8th, 2016, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us. This is usually where I insert a pretty clever joke sometimes, but with the news of Brian Clausen kind of taking over the racing talk here for the past few days, I just thought it was out of place, so I'm going to sidestep that and just welcome Jeff to the show. How are you tonight, Daddy Jay? How's it going?
Doing fine, bud. Yeah, sad time. Sad to hear that news, and It's always tough, man. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, it's a cruel sport. It's a tough sport. We're going to talk about Brian Clausen more later on in the show. I had a chance to talk with him and meet with him a couple times in my life. Never, you know, didn't know him that well, but had met him before. Outstanding young racer, and we're certainly going to talk about him a little bit later in the show and talk about his career and his life. But in the immediate news or immediate times right here, it's good to be back with you, my friend, after a week off. Sidestepped last week's show a little bit. Had a little girl turned 11, so I appreciate you filling in and throwing on a little airtime for the audience last week.
Hey, no worries, man. We were all wishing you and Colleen and family great wishes, man. That was cool. Can't believe she's grown up right in front of us here.
Yeah, she's been a part of Racers Reunion Radio almost as long as I've been on the air. I think I went on the air, my first radio gig, she was not yet five. She was still 4 years old and had yet to start kindergarten yet. And here we are. We're cruising right along. Speedway Report, Racers Reunion Radio. And now how this happened, I'm now the parent of a middle schooler in a few weeks. We've gone right through K through 5 right here on Racers Reunion Radio with her. It's kind of, I don't know, I call this the Racers Reunion family all the time. And I think I mean that, as you guys, everybody joins in and chimes in with Colleen comments and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that's great, man. And she's 11-teen, you said.
Yes, 11-teen.
Yep.
And if you only have to talk to her a minute or two and you don't know everything that I'm talking about. And I'm sure all the parents out there do, too. Well, speaking of young kids, how about your family there? How's Eli and Big D doing? We haven't talked about them in a little bit.
Doing good. Big D's, of course, Eli's busy too because he's right with him, right by his side. Has been shooting a ton of video, golf video mostly. We're also doing some music videos. We went up to Rockingham last Thursday night and shot a video for the Summer Days band up there that's going to be part of a promo that we're doing for them. We still got a couple more video shoots to go to put that together. Dee sold another music video for a band called Splash, I think. That's going to be done, got to be done yet this week. We just are about to wrap up a pretty good sized project with the YMCA here, another video project, which is really cool. And on top of that, we do 16 to 18 videos a month for our golf business, so, and another 4 or 5 for the music side of things, for Music on Main and things like that. So video and more video. We're video folks, man.
We're radio folks, we're video folks. Yeah. And as you and I are talking before the show, we're working on the construction of the video for here. We've got a lot of things in place. The video's up and running. Now we just got to have something proper to shoot, a little something there. But we're working on that here, and that should be along here shortly for Speedway Report. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited about where we can go with all that, and with all the changes that have happened in the last few weeks with different ways to deploy media, and I'm excited about it.
Well, we're catching up. Well, not catching up with the times. We're keeping up with the times as the times change almost daily. Really, in this kind of forum, and I'm excited about it too, but not that we lock ourselves into one aspect, so to speak, but I think we have options.
Yep.
As far as what to do. And I like that. That's exciting.
That's cool. Yeah.
We're flexible. We can move. We can
Absolutely.
Move.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you bringing us to life tonight. We're back. We're live. We're on the air. We're ready to talk a little motorsports with you. So thank you for all you do down there at the beach for us up here in Charlotte. And I want to say hello to all of you out there in Radio Land listening to us, tuning into Racers Reunion Radio. Hopefully you are logged in as well to racersreunion.com with our dueling chat rooms, so to speak. Not really fighting, but dueling. Got the drag racing site as well as the stock car racing site. Cruise on over to the stock car site. Billy Bisco is in there. Danny Whitener, Larry Urey, and the legend Tim Leeming is with us. Good to see all of you there. Thanks for tuning in and joining us. Drag racing room. Well, Barb's and Thomas are in there early. Racing and Rocking will be coming up right after us at the top of the hour for all your drag racing news and some great music. And I want to say hello to Leo, always checking us out down in Brazil. Great audience member down in South America. Thank you for tuning in with us every week. As you, he odd way, but I love it. He's you know, down there in South America, and he uses Racers Reunion to practice his English and learn our language. I think that is fantastic. Much respect to you, my friend. We appreciate you tuning in. And wherever you are listening, we appreciate you being here. Coast to coast, around the world. Hopefully you're in some exotic place and listening and got a really cool backdrop, sunset. I'm picturing the, you know, the fantasy, the paradise lands, you know, around the world, Europe, maybe someplace cool. I don't know, but I hope you're tuning in. You stopped whatever you're doing. Put the brakes on. Got to check out Racers Reunion. Coming up tonight on Speedway Report are your phone calls about anything in the world of racing. We're going to open up them a little bit later in the show. I'll give you the high sign. Good, looking forward to talk to you. And as always, a reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. And coming up as our special guest tonight is winner of Saturday's NASCAR Whelen Southern Modified Tour Race at Bowman Gray Stadium here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Burt Myers will be with us. Myers has joined us several times here on Speedway Report, and we will chat about his victory in the Strutmasters 199. Burt Myers is coming up shortly, so give us a call a little bit later. Like I said, I'll hand out the phone number, tell you what it is. And is anybody up at Watkins Glen or still making their way home? I know some of my friends were up there. Were you up in Road America for the IMSA weekend? I know some of my friends were there as well. And probably the biggest topic of the day, if you have a Brian Clausen story or a memory and you'd care to share it, we will gladly listen to that on the phone lines a little bit later tonight. Right now, let me step on over to the Speedway Report Victory Lane lap, and we will bring you up to date on who won what over this busy late summer weekend. The Sprint Cup cars were in Watkins Glen yesterday. Denny Hamlin won and duplicated the 2015 feat of Joey Logano by winning the Daytona 500 and Watkins Glen in the same year. Logano slipped up to second after Brad Keselowski bumped Martin Truex Jr. out of the way in the last lap. Kez recovered for third. A.J. Allmendinger was fourth. And Tony Stewart, fifth. Xfinity cars were in Watkins Glen on Saturday. Logano led 67 of the 82 laps for another Cup guy, winning another series race. Second through fifth were Paul Menard, Kyle Larson, Daniel Suarez, and Trevor Bayne. The NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour raced in Stafford, Connecticut last Friday night. Jimmy Blewett was in the right place at the right time to take advantage of problems for Doug Coby and Bobby Santos and land Blewett in victory lane on the tour for the first time since 2009. Blewett drove Bob Garbarino's Mystic Missile after being off the tour for a few years. Justin Bonsignor finished second, and Brandon Bach earned his first career podium finish. Chase Dowling and Eric Goodale finished fourth and fifth. The NASCAR Southern Modified Tour, as we mentioned, was at the Bowman Gray Stadium here in North Carolina. Burt Myers took the lead when Kyle Ebersole and Danny Bone got together on lap 161. Myers then led his brother Jason to the checkered flag. Andy Seiss was third over Bobby Miesmer Jr. and Gary Putnam. Like I said, winner Myers will join us very shortly. The NASCAR K&N Pro Series East Tour was also at Watkins Glen. A lot of fenders going around the road course this week. On Friday evening, Austin Cindric went 2-for-2 in his Pro Series career, and he did it by leading every lap of the Bully Hill Vineyards 100. Justin Haley, Cole Custer, Kaz Grala, and Colin Cabre rounded out the top five. The IMSA Tour was up in Road America in Wisconsin. Dan Cameron and Eric Curran won the prototype class in their Action Express Corvette. Tommy Milner and Oliver Gavin won GT Le Mans. Tom Kimber Smith and Robert Allon won Prototype Challenge. And Ben Keating and Jeroen Bleekvolen won in GT Daytona. Interesting story out of the NHRA ranks is they attempted to race in Seattle, Washington. They made it all the way until the final rounds, which were rained out. What do they do? Well, the finals for the Nitro cars, Top Fuel and Funny Car, will be staged in 2 weeks at the Brainerd, Minnesota race. And the Pro Stock finals will be held piggyback with the U.S. Nationals in Indy. Raises some questions for me. I'll pop those out to you a little bit later as well. That's called a teaser. In the meantime, we'll move back to the short tracks where the World of Outlaw late models raced in New Richmond, Wisconsin on Saturday night with the USA Nationals 100. Josh Richards won the finale there and $50,000 for first place. Jonathan Davenport was second, Eric Wells third, Bobby Pierce fourth, and Brian Shirley fifth. World of Outlaw sprints raced in Peavely, Missouri on Friday night and Saturday night. It was a doubleheader. Friday was the prelude to the Ironman, which was won by David Gravel over Darren Pittman, Brad Sweet, Donnie Schatz, and Jason Johnson. Saturday night's Ironman 55, Rico Abreu is the 2016 Ironman and also $20,000 richer. Kerry Madsen was second, Shane Stewart third, Sweet fourth, and Joey Saldana fifth. Back to Abreu for a moment. He had a heck of a tweet here a little while ago. I retweeted it shortly. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too. Great gesture by him. I want to talk about Rico Abreu a little bit later as well. The ARCA Tour raced in Marne, Michigan over the weekend. Dalton Sargeant won the 200-lapper on Saturday night. Chase Briscoe was second, followed by Matt Kurzyewski, Brett Holmes, and A.J. Fike. In Grandview, Pennsylvania, the Modifieds were won by Jeff Strunk, Late Models by Ronnie Klein, and Sportsmen by Brian Papias. And the USAC Midgets raced at the Belleville High Banks in Kansas for the Belleville Nationals. The preliminary night on Friday featured a 25-lap main event, was won by Chad Boat over Tanner Thorson, Carson Makedo, Spencer Baston, and Jerry Coons Jr. Now, Brian Clausen had a big crash that night as well, but he walked away just fine. Saturday night's 40-lap Midget Nationals was also won by Boat, and Brian Clausen had his bad crash this night while leading the race. Let's put a pin in that. We're going to circle back to Brian a little bit later in the show. Right now, though, let's step away for our first commercial break of the evening because I do want to pick up the winner of the NASCAR Wayland Southern Modified Tour race at Bowman Gray Stadium this past Saturday night, Burt Myers. We're going to chat with him a little bit, talk some pavement modifieds, and his season is looking pretty good as we work our way through the dog days of summer. You are listening to Speedway Report. I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back right after this.
Bimini's Oyster Bar and Seafood Cafe has been serving nothing but the freshest shellfish and fish since 1985, beginning with the original location in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and now including an inland location in Greenville, South Carolina. A local's favorite, Bimini's offers live entertainment in season in a year-round vacation atmosphere. Take a trip to the islands inland. Bimini's Oyster Bar, where there are no bad days. Check out the events calendar on the website at www.bimini'soysterbar.com or click the banner here on Shack City, USA.
If you're looking to play some golf in the Myrtle Beach area, just call Dave at the Golf Director, 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Just call Dave. Dave can get you on the course with the best rates on the Grand Strand. Just call Dave. If you're a little shy and you don't like talking on the phone, just chat with Dave. Go to thegolfdirector.com in the lower right-hand corner, click chat. In a few seconds, you're going to be chatting live with Dave. Dave has some of the best golf packages offered anywhere. Just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Tell your friends to tweet at the Golf Director. Hashtag just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. Just call Dave at the Golf Director.
Welcome back to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Mooresville, North Carolina, Race City, USA. I'm Patrick Reynolds. We welcome to Speedway Report right now. Winner of the Strut Masters 199 at Bowman Gray Stadium this past Saturday night, Burt Myers joins us. How are you tonight, Burt?
I'm good, thanks.
We appreciate you coming on the show tonight and giving us a few minutes of your time. You're coming off a big doubleheader weekend at Bowman Gray Stadium, where the weekly modifieds ran a 100-lap feature on Friday, and the Southern Tour held their annual 199 on Saturday. Second place and a win for you. Not too bad by most people's racing standards.
Yeah, we had a really good weekend. I would like to have won both of them, but that just wasn't in the cards. And like you said, we ran second Friday night for the 100-lapper and then came back with a win Saturday night. So it was good to bring that Southern Modified win there at Bowman Gray. Mm-hmm. It was good to bring it back to the hometown guys.
Well, Friday night, I want to dissect the weekend a little bit here. Friday night was a little bit different than Saturday, with the Tour race being Saturday and Friday night being a basic weekly racing championship event for you and all the Modified drivers there at the stadium. You ran second to winner Tim Brown. Can you tell us a little bit about the night and how it went for you? You were leading at one point, but just couldn't quite get the victory lane.
Yeah, it was the track had some. We had some dirt coming on the track in a couple spots, and they were in a hurry, and the rain was coming. Mm-hmm. It was just a whole lot of things that come together. I got a bad restart, and I got in the dirt. And Tim was able to clear me from the outside, and about two laps later it started raining about 75 laps into the race. So, you know, as a driver, I have to take responsibility for that. But, you know, it'd be silly of me to complain about a second-place finish. But it was a little bit disappointing. But, you know, like I told somebody, I think maybe the Lord was setting me up with a test there to see how I would handle that second-place finish. And we were able to pull out a win Saturday night. Saturday night was we qualified eighth. I took my old Bowman Gray car that I've run there for, I guess it's 1998. In that car alone, I have, up until Saturday night, I had 65 wins and 6 championships there at the stadium in it. So needless to say, it knows its way around that place. But the car's never really qualified really good, but it always races really well. And we were really good in race trim. We were able to qualify eighth. My guys were a little bit disappointed in that when I told them. I said, you know, we got a really good car. We'll just be patient, and I think we're going to be okay. And at the end of the night, we ended up in the lead, and we're able to drive away. So, like I said, it was a really good weekend for us.
You had a fast car. You were in the right place at the right time, but you had a little help, too. A couple of the leaders got together while you were running in a pretty good spot and closing in on them. From your point of view, could you tell what happened amongst the two guys up front?
Well, I was a little bit surprised they were racing each other that hard, just because I know that the 5 and the 40, I think they used to be roommates, and they're pretty much best friends. Their cars are kept in the same building. They were running each other really hard, and it looked like to me the 5 sort of squeezed the 40 into the guardrail coming up the front stretch on the restart. You know, I don't think he meant to, but either way, it was his fault, it looked like to me. But they one went one way, and then I guess the 40 got into the wall, and the 5 came back across the track into the infield, and I was able to dodge them, and it was clear sailing from there. But I think we probably had a little better car than them, but that doesn't mean that you're going to win, especially at Bowman Gray, because track position is so critical. But I feel like we had the best car. The fastest, just to give you an idea, the fastest lap of the race was run by Bobby Miesemer, and it was a 1355. I ran a 1356 on lap 198. So for the people that think we fell into it, all you got to do is look at the stats and the times, and if you just watch the race, you see that we had a car that was very capable of winning.
Very fast car that late in the race. That's a good telltale sign of how good of a car you had. Obviously, we're talking about Kyle Ebersole and Danny Bone getting together and not being in the right. As you just said, you know, in the answer to your previous question, at 199 laps, patience, even at Bowman Gray, a big piece of the puzzle in order to get to victory lane.
Absolutely. You know, I was sitting there, and I was going to try. They had the halfway break at lap 139 to let guys. You had an option whether you wanted to come in and change tires or not. And at Bowman Gray, like I said, track position is so crucial that you know, we weren't going to come in. And I told my guys we were getting down there about 125, and I started putting pressure on Ebersole. And I thought to myself, well, if I go ahead and get the second now, you know, when we have that halfway break, I'll restart on the outside. And then I double thought myself, and I said, well, you know, I would rather be on the inside on the restart and then get the second and then take a chance on the outside. But on that next restart's when they had their problem, I guess. So like I said, it was just right place, right time. But you know in racing, you have to put yourself in the right situation to take advantage of situations like that. So we were able to do that. We were on the inside on a couple of different restarts and stuff like that. So we were able to capitalize on several different things the other night.
Oh, a lot of times you make your own luck in this sport. That's quite clear, and you certainly did that. With that, what you call this, like an old Bowman Gray Stadium car back in 1998, what does this car do? Is it more of a tour car that you have it assigned, or is it more of a stadium car that you use it for? Where do you usually see action with it?
My dad bought this car from Troyer in 1986, and he drove it from 86 to around 95, and we've clipped both ends of it, but I questioned why we were going to clip it because it ran so good.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, we'll just build it back just like it is. And the left rear corner was actually knocked up a little bit on the rear clip, and we built it back that way. So several years had passed, and when we started running it on the NASCAR Well and Southern Modified Tour, when they would come into town for the tour race at Bowman Gray, we had to update the front clip to the new style front clip, which was, we at the time, was like a 2001 style. So we updated it to a 2001 style, and then that's basically where it is now. My dad won 24 races in it. And then when I started driving it in 1998, I won, up until the other night, I won 65 races and 6 championships in it. It's just basically our old family house car.
Mm-hmm.
It's a car that has run mainly Bowman Gray, but I've probably won 20 races in it at other different places when Friendship was paved, and I've won A several times in it. So it's been around. It's our old family car, and I joke about with my son that maybe he'll get to drive it one day.
Yeah, third generation chassis. I don't know if there's another story like that in racing for short tracks, at least, where it could, in theory, be passed on to a third generation still winning in this day and age.
Yeah,
that's surprising.
It's I tell you, I wasn't surprised that I won in the car, but it was refreshing, I guess you can say, to know that. You know, this year in 2016 at the beginning of the season was the first year that I haven't run that car since 1998. And, it was because I built a new LFR chassis. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been running at Bowman Gray all year. The difference in the Bowman Gray car and the tour car, the motor's the same. Most of the specs are the same. But basically what you have is when the tour comes into town, you have to have a spool rear end, a lock rear end, and you run the 15-inch tire. So basically what we did is just got that car ready for the tour race, and I ran my LFR car on Friday night for Bowman Gray points, and then switched out cars and ran my old stadium car Saturday night in the NASCAR Well and Southern Modified Tour. So it was just easier on us. In the past, I've basically just switched them out. They make a locker piece where you can lock up the Bowman Gray style rear end, and just put the wide tires on it. But it was just easier for us to do what we did this time, and obviously I guess we made the right decision.
Very good choice. Yeah, you hit a home run with that one. With Friday night's second place finish in that 100 lap, I looked at the track championship standings. You've got a 69-point lead with only two Saturday nights left, let's call it. Mathematically speaking, is there anyone that can still catch you, or is this looking pretty good for another championship for you?
Well, I mean, of course we're in a good spot right now, but that last race of the year is 4 points per position, paying 100 points to the winner.
Mm.
So, you know, you've got to have a pretty good lead to be able to be comfortable enough to just not have to worry that last event. You know, you fall out on the last lap or have a mechanical problem or get in a wreck or something real early, then you could lose the championship all in one night. So unless we're up enough to where all we have to do is start the race, then we're still going to be conscious of it. But our goal is to still go out, and the way we look at it is we've got two more chances to try to win a race this year.
This Saturday night at the stadium has the twin feature format, a couple of twin 50s this Saturday. How are points divvied up in that regard? In other words, do you have basically two Saturday nights, or do you really have three different races where you could gain or lose points?
Well, it's three separate races, I guess, is the way you can look at it. But the 50 lappers on a twin night like that, on twin 50s, it's only 1 point per position.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't lose, you know, you can only lose a certain amount of points in a night because it is 1 point per position. But it is two separate races with 1 point per position in each race. So say there's 20 cars and you finish last in both races, you lose 40 points.
Mm-hmm. That's big.
But, it's basically, that's a good way to look at it, is we've got three races left. But in the twin 50s, it's 1 point per position, where that last race of the year in the 150 will be 4 points per position. So, you know, we're conscious of where we're at, what we need to do. We're not going to try to do anything that, you know, could hinder, you know, could cost us a major point loss. But on the other hand, we're going to win races. So we're going out to do the best we can, just like we have all year.
Mm-hmm. As long as we're on the subject of math, we'll hop on over and look at the Southern Modified Tour. The numbers look a lot different there. You've got a 17-point lead on Andy Sice. And in the middle of all these last two races at Bowman Gray, by golly, you got a big race at Bristol, Tennessee next Wednesday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We worked on the we unloaded our other two cars today and spent most of the day working on the Bristol car, just trying to get some body panels replaced. And the best way I know how to tell you is we're dolling it up just a little bit mm-hmm. to try to go to Bristol. As far as the body and, you know, making everything look as good as we can and making the body panels to make the car as straight as we can. And aero doesn't mean a whole lot in a modified, but if there's anywhere that it may help, it would be Bristol. So we're making sure we've got everything where we need it. But we'll spend probably the latter part of this week and probably Monday of next week getting it set up and getting it dialed in for Bristol.
How do you like racing on the high banks of Bristol? What's your track record there? Is that a strong place for you?
I always race good there. I qualified second year before last, but it just seems like every year we go, we say, okay, Bristol owes us. I'm getting tired of saying that. I wish it would hurry up and pay off. But it's just the thing about Bristol in a modified, if your car is good, it's the most fun you'll ever have in a race car. If your car is bad, you'd rather be anywhere else. It's just somewhere that's not very much fun. It's not very comfortable, and it's not a good time when your car is not working for you. But I can remember the first time I went there, I said, man, this is what it's all about. Just the high banks, the high speed. It's just an awesome place to go, not to mention just the atmosphere and the, you know, it's Bristol. What can you say?
It's Bristol, baby. That's what the slogan says.
There you go.
Does that Wednesday night show really throw a monkey wrench into your preparation that you were outlining for us with the two Saturday shows for the championship at the stadium? Mixed in, you're trying to fight the title for the tour, and there's that Wednesday night show. You know, modified racers are not, you know, staff of paid crew guys. How does that affect your car preparation?
Well, we work it in. Basically, I'm fortunate enough that other than racing, you know, I take the kids here and take the kids there, and you know, basically, I work for myself, so I can work around my own schedule to make sure that things get done. The problem that I could have is if I have problems and have to put extra hours in, it just means it's time away from my family. If I have to work late at night and stuff like that, but basically that's why we're making preparations now to get the Bristol car finalized, so that we don't run into a pinch. You know, say we tear something up at Bowman Gray this weekend, and then next week we need that extra time to get that car done. The Bristol car will already be ready to go. So we're trying to plan ahead enough, but it's still racing. You know, you can't plan but so far ahead because you don't know what's going to happen next weekend.
I look at the remaining races on the schedule after Bristol. There's four remaining for the tour anyway. East Carolina, South Boston, Caraway, and Charlotte. I've been to three out of four of those. Can you tell me a little bit about East Carolina Speedway? One of the ones I've never been to before.
Neither have I. I've seen some videos. I don't think I know that the Southern Modified Tour has never been to East Carolina. You know, growing up in modifieds, I don't guess the modifieds, even when it was the old Smart Tour, I don't guess we've ever been there. But for people in this area or that are familiar with the modifieds, from what I see from videos and pictures, it reminds me of a mixture between Langley Speedway and A Speedway. It's pretty flat, and one of the straightaways is D-shaped. So we're just going to kind of go an in-between setup on that and go see what we've got there. But I love going to new tracks. It's fun. I love trying to adapt to it and get the car set up to it. I'm one of the drivers that that loves to feel what I go by the seat. I drive by the seat of my pants is the best way I know how to tell you. And then I like to make the changes that need to be made to make the car better. So it's fun for me when we go somewhere new.
Looking beyond East Carolina to the three tracks we both have been to, South Boston, Caraway, and Charlotte, do you have a strong point amongst the three that you feel that give you a better shot to win than the other two?
Well, South Boston, last time we finished second. Caraway, I've won two of the three there this year. And then Charlotte, I've won three there, and I think I have an average finish of about four. So I'm hoping if numbers tell the story, I'm hoping we're going to finish really strong.
I don't even see a weak point in there with those numbers you just gave me. That's pretty good.
As long as we can keep it up. I've always run good at Charlotte for some reason. You know, even though it's a flat quarter mile, it's nothing like Bowman Gray Stadium. Like I said, I've won three races there. Including in 2010, I won the race and the championship all in the same night. So it's always been one that I've always looked forward to. Like I said, you never know. I mean, that's why it's called racing. But
yep,
it's tracks that I look forward to running, finishing the year out with.
You ever race in that quarter mile in Charlotte, look down into turn one on the mile and a half track, and say, "Man, it'd be nice to have a race up on the high banks"?
Yes, I have. Several years ago, it's pretty cool. Of course, I didn't have the car geared for what we needed, but several years ago when we partnered with Tony Stewart and the Highway Patrol, North Carolina Highway Patrol, and we had the campaign for no texting, just driving, and they put the blue bar light up on the roof of my car, and we decaled it in a wrap advertising the no texting, just driving. And a good friend of mine, Sergeant Dixon, and the colonel at the time for the North Carolina Highway Patrol, and several others, I think maybe even Pat McCrory was there, I followed the state troop, the Charger, the Highway Patrol car, around Charlotte Motor Speedway, and I was in my car. We didn't get maybe 85, 90 miles an hour, but it gives you that idea of, man, this would be really fun to haul off down here in a modified. I love all kinds of racing, but I'm very biased towards the modified. I've watched just about every kind of racing there is, and to me, there's nothing more exciting and puts on a better show than a modified. So, I know it's not feasible for a modified to run Charlotte, but just the idea of it sure would be cool.
Mm-hmm. I echo your sentiments. I grew up in New England before I moved here in the South, so I was raised pretty much on pavement modifieds in the days of Ronnie Bouchard and Richie Evans, Jerry Cook. I saw them all race, and that has always been like you. I've watched all kinds of racing. That pavement modified, near and dear to my heart, and is still to this day in 2016 my favorite race car. So, you know, I'm right there with you. I share the sentiment and the love for that division.
Yeah, it's the horsepower to weight ratio with the you know, the tires hanging out, no fenders, and you know, I tell people our bumpers line up on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't, when we knock a front bumper in, we don't affect our aero and lose 3/10. You know, I mean, they line up on purpose and for that reason. So it just, that kind of racing is just, it's good old short track racing at its best.
Mm-hmm. I love a good modified short track race. Well, Bert, I appreciate the time tonight and giving us a few minutes in your busy schedule. I know you got a couple of championships you're trying to win. Two more weeks at Bowman Gray Stadium and into the autumn with the Southern Modified Tour. Best of luck on both tours, and hope you can pull off a couple of championships before the year's out.
That's our plan. I sure appreciate you having me.
All right. Well, thank you, Bert. Have a great night. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Take care. Bert Myers, everyone, winner of the NASCAR Wayland Southern Modified Tour race Saturday night at Bowman Gray Stadium. He leads the points in the Southern Tour and leads the track points at Bowman Gray Stadium. He's looking pretty good as we head into the late summer weeks and into the fall here in 2016. Time for another break. When we return, we will cover your Speedway Report headlines and open up the phone lines for you. You're listening to Speedway Report. I am Patrick Reynolds. We will be back right after this.
Jack City USA and Beach Music Scene Magazine are proud to welcome Ginger Jewelry to our family. Check them out on the inside front cover of the latest edition of Beach Music Scene Magazine or go to their website at www.gingerjewelry.net. That's Ginger, J-I-N-J-A, gingerjewelry.net. Check out this fantastic selection of handcrafted Balinese jewelry. That's Ginger Jewelry. GingerJewelry.net.
If you're looking to play some golf in the Myrtle Beach area, just call Dave at the Golf Director, 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Just call Dave. Dave can get you on the course with the best rates on the Grand Strand. Just call Dave. If you're a little shy and you don't like talking on the phone, just chat with Dave. Go to thegolfdirector.com in the lower right-hand corner. Click chat. In a few seconds, you're going to be chatting live with Dave. Dave has some of the best golf packages offered anywhere. Just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Tell your friends to tweet at the golf director. Hashtag just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. Just call Dave at the golf director.
Welcome back to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds. Thanks for tuning in tonight. How cool was it to talk to Burt Myers in the last segment? Great storyteller. Couldn't believe how old that car was. Actually, I could believe it because I think I've heard him tell this story before, how his dad used to race it back in the 80s, and even though it's been reclipped, it is still winning races at Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's cool stuff. How, you know, if his son gets that car, I'd like to find out if there is another chassis out there, short track or wherever, where it's handed down through three generations of family members and drivers at the same local track and still winning races. That's pretty cool. Phone lines are now open, everyone. If you would like to join the program, get into a little conversation, debate, agreement, what have you, storytelling, I'll listen. Studio hotline, 843-272-1900. One more time, 843-272-1900. I'd love to talk to you. Get a hold of Jeff. He'll pop me up on the message board and let me know, hey, somebody wants to talk to you. I guess we'll begin with, I want to talk about Brian Clausen. I want to talk about several things tonight. Brian Clausen. As I was talking to Jeff before the show started, I kind of had a get him up to speed on some details of Brian, his life, what happened. And Brian is a tremendous short track race car driver. He was about 20, I think he's 27 years old, and he spent some time down here near Charlotte several years ago, early 2000s, or no, it was later than that, 2008, 7, 9, somewhere in that range. Where he was a development driver for Ganassi Racing, and he ran several races in the Nationwide program. Might have still been a teenager at that point. As he was making his way up through the USAC ranks, and as we all know, these USAC ranks, that there was that dirt open-wheel short-tracking format in the Midwest is a fantastic training ground for professional race car drivers. A few guys that have come through it, well, you might have heard of them. Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Ryan Newman. Come to mind as the type of race car drivers that have come through that USAC feeder series. And Brian was driving a USAC midget. Let me back up a little bit. His NASCAR aspirations did not work out as it does, sometimes does. Sometimes money isn't at the right place at the right time. And he went back to USAC and was carving out an amazing career in the short tracks there, both on the pavement and on the dirt. Spending time with the Silver Crown Series, the sprint cars, as well as the midgets. His goal for 2016, we've talked about it on Speedway Report before, was he was scheduled for 200 races in 2016, 200 different races. And one of them was took place this past weekend, one of the big ones for the USAC midgets, the Belleville Nationals. Now, I've never been to Belleville, Kansas, but I did talk to someone, Bones Boussier, over the weekend. He and I were talking on the phone over about Brian Clausen and some other things as well. But he talked to me about Belleville. He hadn't been there in years, but he has several visits to Belleville. It is a very, very fast, fast track. I believe it's only a quarter mile around, but the banking, the steep, steep banking on this track is more dramatic than video or photos led it on to be. The way around here that's fast is flat out all the way around the wall on the high side, and it's round. I don't believe you ever get straight on the straightaways. The groove on there, by the time you come out of the corner and ready to enter the next one, you're really driving a circle all the way around the track, and you are flat out against the fence. And as Bones told me, how other drivers have relayed it to him, is that, here's the words he used, that it was easy to get lost at this track because you are constantly looking ahead and across the track for what's coming up. And other than the grandstands are there out of turn four, it's a great marker for you because the track itself, you can go around and around and lose track of what corner you're in, what straightaway you're on. Bristol, Tennessee does this to people once in a while, too, is that it's easy to lose track of which end of the speedway you were on. Brian got up against the wall whether it was Frew himself, possibly a lap car, because he had a bad crash there Friday night as well, but walked away just fine. His midget rolled in a violent crash, snap rolled several times, came off the wall, tumbled almost to a stop, and was hit pretty hard by another driver. I don't want to make that driver's name the answer to a trivia question, so I'll just leave that out of my report because it was a racing accident. At that point, he was Brian was taken out of the car and flown to a hospital, and there was word either last night or early this morning the word came out that Brian had passed. They held a news conference this morning at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and let us know that Brian was no longer with us. Now, I won't pretend I knew Brian Clausen well. I did not. But I have met him a couple of times. You guys know I talk about the Indy 500 all the time. It's a race near and dear to my heart. I've seen several, if not all, of his Indy 500 starts. I believe I have seen all of them. This past year, in May of 2016, for the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500, Brian was leading the race on lap 100 of the 100. He led, I believe it was only three laps in the race, but he was a leader in the Indianapolis 500. What is cool, if that wasn't as cool enough in itself, but Clausen was the type of throwback guy, a Tony Stewart, an A.J. Foyt, that type of just swashbuckling type of guy. Here's what he did. As I just told you, Clausen was leading the Indy 500. He eventually took the checkered flag, I believe, in 23rd position this year. Sunday night, he's in a sprint car in Kokomo, Indiana. He won the feature after running the Indy 500 that day. Went to Kokomo, won the feature up there that night. That's a throwback driver. I've always been fans of drivers that were versatile, and Clausen was one of those guys. Put him in a pavement car, put him in a non-winged car, put him on different tracks, different styles. He could win. All he needed was the common denominator of a steering wheel, and that's all he needed. And it was so sad to see this talent and this young man taken from us too soon. I want to share a story here. Back in 2009, that was the first year I began writing. I hadn't even started a radio career yet, but I was doing a lot of writing. That was the first year I was writing about motorsports. And I spent the Indy weekend, Wednesday, Thursday, something like that, through Sunday or Monday, obviously through the 500, spent it up there. Each night I followed the USAC tour. I spent the daytime at the Super Speedway for the Indy cars. And at nighttime I went to Terre Haute. I went to the fairgrounds. I went to Indianapolis Raceway Park. And each night, as I moved along with these USAC troops, I was in the pits every night, and I walked along from trailer to trailer, garage to, well, not garages, but trailer to trailer, pit area to pit area, and I felt very welcomed as a member of their community as they saw me night after night. They didn't know me from Adam, but they were they welcomed me with my questions, and I talked to them, and everybody talked to me, and they recognized me after three straight nights, and as I walked along the pit area, I was starting to get waves and nods hello from some of the regulars that are there every week on the USAC different tours. And one of those guys was Clausen. He didn't know me from Adam, but he's seen me three nights in a row where I talked to him, and he gave me a big smile that he's got and a big wave hello. And always felt a great short track connection with him, and I loved seeing him run the Indy 500 as a short track guy, getting a shot with the big time in the Indy cars. And I'll offer up the prayers to his family and friends in his memory. His shame is taken from us too soon. And I mentioned Rico Abreu earlier. Guess what? His T-shirt truck is either on the way or already is at Oskaloosa, Iowa tonight and tomorrow with a donation bin in the memory of Brian Clausen. Abreu will reach into his pocket and match all the donations that are put forth in the bin. So if you are in Oskaloosa for the sprint car races tonight or tomorrow out in Iowa, hit up Rico Abreu's T-shirt truck. Buy an Abreu T-shirt and spare what you have in the donation jar. And Oskaloosa tonight, tomorrow, we begin Wednesday, a big night of short track racing for the week. The Knoxville Nationals kick off Wednesday nights. 360 Nationals this past weekend, Oskaloosa tonight and tomorrow. Then Wednesday through Saturday are the Knoxville Nationals. Good stuff. Just the type of dirt short track racing Brian Clausen would have loved. A few more points outside of the dirt short track world I want to touch on. Eric Jones will drive a second car for Furniture Row Racing in 2016. Alexis DeJoria missed the Seattle NHRA meet due to a broken pelvis from a previous crash. She is shooting to be back at Brainerd, Minnesota in a few weeks. That's her new target. And the NHRA final round rain delay. I told you that earlier. Nitro cars will go to Brainerd in a couple of weeks for their final round, piggyback that event. Pro Stock will be at the U.S. Nationals. Does that affect the fans' ticket or their refund? Or how does that work? Is it like past halfway and it's considered an official race? I'm honestly asking because I don't know. And I would like to find out. So we're out of time tonight. I got to move on. But if you want to shoot me a message on Facebook or hit me a tweet, I'll happily talk to you about racing, and especially if you know the answer to my NHRA question. And everybody, in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of racing with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Vicki Miller, Paul Bloffus, and Steve Zonger have feature stories on there, as well as myself. And a feature we have with this show is our podcasts are available on SpeedwayReport.com. Tonight's will be up very soon, so head on over to our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Jeff Gilder, my friend, thanks for the production work this evening. Glad to hear you smiling through the microphone again.
My pleasure, buddy.
Glad the show ended better than it began. You can hear more from Jeff and the Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday night, 7 Eastern Time, on Racing Through History right here on Racers Reunion. Don't forget, Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern Time. Big thanks to Burt Myers for joining us tonight. Good luck to him for the rest of 2016. Good to see everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms tonight, both the stock car site and the drag racing site. I'm happy to be part of your family. Thank you for being here. And a reminder, go see your local track. They are the backbone of the entire auto racing world. Whether it's your local road course, drag strip, oval track, go to your local speedway this weekend. I want to thank all of the military past and present for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion Radio, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been listening to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. All of our NHRA and drag racing friends that appreciate great music, stay tuned right here for Bill Pratt, John Buckelman, and Barb Santucci on Racing and Rockin' with DragList.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back live in 1 week, and we'll talk about NASCAR Xfinity from Mid-Ohio, World of Outlaw late models on the East Coast, and the 56th annual Knoxville Nationals. We extend our prayers to Brian Clausen's family tonight. Thank you all for listening. Good night.